Our topic this morning is dealing with doing all things in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3 said, whatsoever you do, that covers it all, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. It is couched between two verses that would say, my heart's full of grace, my heart's full of thanksgiving. Because we're to do all things in the name of the Lord, giving thanks unto God through him. And in verse 16, singing with grace in our hearts unto God as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So doing all things in the name of the Lord is not something that is a burden. It is not something that is demanding of me that I put forth this effort, but there's no joy in my heart in doing it. No, I want to do exactly what is within the authority of the Lord. I want to do things that are fitting in his sight. Ephesians 5:4, my words are to be fitting. Wives are to be submitting to their husbands as is fitting to the Lord. So what is properly associated with the authority of the Lord, what's fitting and proper within his reign in our hearts, I rejoice in doing that. And I would seek everything that I do, that I can have a positive, affirmative connection, the authority of the Lord's behind this. That's what we need to do. My question this morning, how does that relate to social drinking? Am I going to do all things in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to abstain from socially drinking alcohol, and therefore be a teetotaler? He said, oh, preacher, you misspelled that. It's a T-T-A-toler. No, it's not. It's T-E-E. He said, well, where did that come from? 1833, Dickie Turner was preaching. He had a little problem. He stuttered. And in that sermon, he said, we have to totally abstain. So that's where you got teetotaler. The reason I know that, Wikipedia told me so. But it's the best thing I can come up with. That's why it's T-E-E, toler. What do we mean by that? Totally abstaining from the drinking of alcohol. He said, no, I know one thing. The Bible says drunkenness is condemned. I could never do that in the name of the Lord. Drunkenness, being a drunkard, I'll never inherit the kingdom of God. It is the work of the flesh. I'll just give you one passage right after another, preacher, that drunkenness is wrong. But where does God specifically condemn social drinking? Or drinking moderately? Drinking a couple beers before you go fishing with your buddies. Or social, you know, kind of ease up the feelings when you're dealing with business and work, and that you need to have one of those little cocktail parties for all those things to loosen people up, and they get associated with one another, do better business when you do that. I don't get drunk, and I would be what we call a social drinker. And I think this is something that our young people are having to deal with, older people as well. I want to shine the light of God's word upon this subject. That am I doing all things in the name of the Lord when I'm a moderate drinker, social drinker? Or will it better feel I'm doing all things in the name of the Lord and I will totally abstain from alcohol? We're going to look at God's word. And one place we go to at the very beginning is, what did Jesus do? Jesus turned water into wine in John the second chapter. The reason he had to do this is because the wine had failed, verses 2 through 5 of John 2. The element that is involved is water turned to wine. There were 10 vessels. He's probably holding about 6 gallons. And that was used for washing and purification of the Jews as they would, before they would eat and before they, especially in this social gathering. There was 60 gallons. Because Jesus says, fill it to the brim. Got about 60 gallons of water there. And what Jesus did, he short-circuited the process. He went from water to wine instead of water feeding the roots of a vine that would produce grapes and have grape juice and produce the wine. He shortcutted that. That's a miracle. He turned the water into wine, and to confirm that miracle, the ruler of the feast tasted it and said, this is good. Verses 8 through 10. Did he taste it and said, boom, it has a certain punch to it? Did he taste it and said, oh, this alcoholic beverage has a good smell to it and all those things. This is perfect for the wedding to go along with our certain meats that we're going to eat. No, it was the idea of good because it was flavorful, and he knew the difference. That when people set out in a feast, they would set forth the good wine, and then as they had been saturating their tongues with the good wine, a little bit later he would go the worse of that, of comparison, the worse wine. But why? But you have given us, after we have freely been drinking, you give us good wine. It's flavorful, it's tasting fresh, and all of those things, not necessarily alcoholic. But you know what? What is wine? Wine's used in the Bible. It can be fermented. Let me just deal with Ephesians 5:18 first. Be not drunken with wine, wherein is excess, a riot. So I know sometimes oinos, the Greek word, can be fermented wine. That's the only way you get drunk. May wine be not drunken with wine. But the Bible also says that as wine is in the cluster of the grape, Isaiah 65 and verse 8, there's a blessing therein. Do not destroy that. Of course, his point is that he's not for his servant's sake, he's not going to destroy all of Israel. The cluster is just full. I'm not going to destroy the grape because there's a blessing inside. That's fresh grape juice. You can't ferment inside the grape. So wine sometimes is depicting grape juice. Which one did Jesus do? Note that they had all been drinking freely. Hey, the ruler said that to us. They have run out. They've drunk so freely. Don't know how much it was, don't know how many people were there. But I do know that. And when I start looking at the character of a godly person, Habakkuk says, he that giveth his neighbor to drink, then adds the little venom to it, the idea of we're going to get him drunk on the alcohol wine, to look upon his nakedness. That is ungodly. Jesus is not, if he produced wine that's alcoholic content, I'm not saying he did so because I want to look at their nakedness. But the point I want to make there is that the attitude in the heart of someone, what leads to nakedness? Alcohol will take away your inhibitions. You think Jesus would be where these people have freely been drinking, would add 60 gallons of alcoholic wine so they could what? Jesus is wise. He's godly. He's holy. I don't see him say, oh, I don't care. I'm going to make it anyway. No one was to lose inhibitions that would cause them to be naked. That's Habakkuk 2:15 as well. Jesus is not that kind of man. Could wine be fresh juice of the grape? That's a miracle. He would be violating Habakkuk 2:15. And would Jesus make alcoholic wine after knowing that the people have been drinking freely? Would it be violating the wisdom that you see in Proverbs 23 The who has the woe as the redness of eyes is he that stayeth long at the wine. These people have been there for a long time with the wine. It had failed. Would he make 60 gallons more so they can stay there and drink more freely if it's alcoholic wine? Would he be leading them in that direction? No way. What's consistent with Jesus' character of godliness, the wisdom that he would set forth, points to the fact he turned water into fresh grape juice. Now, it can become fermented, but it was water just recently turned to wine. What would be consistent with Jesus? Shine the light of God's word. Shine the light of what is a godly character according to God's word. You don't put things in front of people that take away their inhibitions, regardless of your evil thought or motive behind it. And you sure don't bring forth more alcohol wine for people who have been drinking freely already, because you want to avoid drunkenness. So I don't think that is all authority in the Lord that Jesus went to a marriage feast and he made alcoholic wine so I can be a social drinker. You don't find your authority there. What I do find is the wisdom of being a teetotaler. And realize that's not the authority. The authority found here is that Jesus turned water into that which is good. And you could taste it. A water turned to wine. Secondly, all the Bible teaches this. It's interesting in 1 Timothy 3:8, he's directing his remarks toward the deacons. And what would be a qualification of deacons who would be involved with helping people and being involved personally with them? And he would also deal in Titus 2:3 with older women. Older women, don't be addicted to wine. And you deacons, don't you be addicted to wine. Don't be addicted to much wine, it says in those two passages. Well, naturally, you'd be doing that, you'd probably be getting drunk. You're addicted to that. That's definitely condemned by God. My question is, I want to do all things the authority of the Lord. Does that give me the right? Is that my authority to be given to a little wine? That doesn't make sense. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, I will not be brought under the power of any, but got to have two beers after work. What are you? Why do you have to have your two beers after work? Why do you have to do that all the time? It's my habit. Can you be addicted to a little wine? I'm not to be under the power of anything as a life as a Christian. There's not any positive authority there for social drinking because I'm not addicted to much wine. Ephesians 5:18, we've already mentioned, be not drunk with wine. That word, that verb drunken, is don't be in the process of becoming drunk. Are given to wine, the idea of becoming addicted to it, that would lead to more drunkenness. I'm not to be in the process of doing that. You know what? As a teetotaler, I'll never be in the process of becoming drunk. You will, moderate drinker. You will, it says, being a Christian is all right to social drink because my Lord made wine in the marriage feast. You hadn't gotten that. And this passage is not giving you a right to social drink. I'm not even supposed to be in the process of becoming drunk. And if I'm appealing to the authority of the Lord, which side is Jesus on? Which side is the Holy Spirit upon? Which side is God upon? He's taught us. Don't be in that process of doing that. One drinking a little wine certainly is on the path that can lead to drunkenness and addiction. That's a fact. Teetotaler will never be in that situation. He may have his other problems. But it won't be that he's coming drunk or addicted to it. Thirdly, we are to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. What's your desire? Got to have cocktail. Got to have drink. Oh, I know drunkenness is condemned, but I've got to have that. I've got to have it to be sociable. I've got to have it to be doing business. I've got to, for whatever reason, my desires. I need to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We're pilgrims passing through. We don't belong to this world. So we don't think like the world. And here's that soul of us that's the true self that we need to keep it holy. But there's war from the flesh against the spirit, against the soul. My question is, how do you do that in the name of the Lord? How do I take the authority of the Lord? I got a scripture and I got authority of the Lord. How do I take that into practicality in my life that I abstain from things that war against the soul? One of the things I can do that God instructs me to do is to make no provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You make provisions all the time to reach your goal. We're going to eat lunch here on our way to this state. We're going to do this. We're going to see that. And that's going to be our goal over here. This is where we're going. You're making provisions on the way to hit your goal. You're going to explore the North Pole. You're going to fly over and put things in igloos. That will be places where we'll probably travel that far and we can have food there and have food here. You're making provisions to accomplish your goal. And God says, make no provisions to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Romans 13, 13 and 14, that's the difference between being light in the world, walking in the light instead of walking in darkness. And you think about to fulfill the lust thereof. And he begins to describe reveling and drunkenness. Those are the things of the night. And you're supposed to be walking in the day. I don't want to be ingesting something that's going to be a facilitator for me to fulfill the lust of my flesh. That's what Paul's saying. What are you doing when you take in alcohol into your body? You lose your inhibitions. That's not when you're passed out drunk. It's when you're drinking and you're sociable and you loosen up your tongue and your inhibitions aren't as strong against things as they once were. That's what happens. And look at things that we're not to do. Ephesians 4:19 speaks about the heart that's past feeling, giving himself to lasciviousness, all ungodliness, all the filthiness with that, and the greediness. Lasciviousness, as I get to the point that I don't care how it affects you. I want to fulfill my lust. And I'm at that point, there's nothing going to stop me from doing it. What action can facilitate that? What provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh can be a part of that? Fornication and adultery. Both sins, they're soul damning. What do people use to get people to have sex with them that's unlawful? To get young ladies to give up their inhibitions, or men as well. What gets them to alcohol? Alcohol. Drink a few beers with me. Have a little wine. And it can lead to fornication and lead to adultery. An elder is not to be a brawler. And that word brawler doesn't mean he's out here fighting all the time. It means more than that. He's not quarrelsome over wine. That's what 1 Timothy 3:3 says. Quarrelsome over wine. Proverbs 20 and verse 1 says, wine is a deceiver and strong drink a brawler. Because people get drunk and they fight anybody in the world. Those are facts. And here comes the Christian. I want to do things in the authority of the Lord. And social drinking is on the table today. Or will I abstain totally from it? Which way are you going to go? Shine the light of God's word upon the subject. You begin to realize, no, I'm staying away from that. And those of you who've lived in the world, you've tried it. You've lived like this. That was the way to get women into bed with you. And get past the feeling of all the inhibitions to fulfill the lust of the flesh, alcohol. And it's still used today. Is that something you say, I'll just ignore that because I won't get drunk? How do you know? Wine is a deceiver. It didn't tell you how much you drink or how little you drink. It said wine is a deceiver. It didn't say, yes, you're going to drink it. Wine is a brawl. It's what it produces. But the very idea of wine is a deceiver. That's why Proverbs 23 is so instructive. I don't read in Proverbs 23, thou shalt not touch wine. But it's saying, get some wisdom. Don't look at it when it is sparkling red in the cup. Well, that means abstain from it. What does it say, abstain from it? That passage is saying, don't look at it, because this is where it leads to. In fact, in verse 23, your heart will utter perverse things. Why? Inhibitions are taken away. And you'll be saying things that you normally wouldn't say. Going places in your mind where you shouldn't go. Then being willing to do things that you shouldn't do. Look at it. Be wise. Look at it where it leads to. So what? You can make a wise judgment. I'm not going to stay long at the wine. Wine of that day, it took a long time for you to get drunk. Low alcohol content. And don't seek it. Don't seek the mixed wine. This is where it leads. I'm going to stay. Because my mouth is not going to utter perverse things. My heart from my heart. I'm not going to put myself in dangerous positions and endanger someone else. I'm not going to get to the points where I pass feeling. And I'll do exactly what I want to do at that moment. I'm going to make provision to commit fornication or adultery. I'm not going to watch a dirty movie. I'm not going to drink alcohol. Because I want to follow the wisdom of God. What's wrong with that thinking? Well, God didn't say you couldn't. What does God say do? I want to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I won't have that problem when that takes place. A teetotaler doing things in the name of the Lord will abstain from wine. That can be the outpost for lessening the inhibitions and corrupting righteous judgments. We in our Bible class, God, Jesus said in John 7 and verse 24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. How can you judge righteously when your mind's not thinking clearly? Where's a Christian supposed to be at all times? Thinking clearly so I can make righteous judgments. That's why he says must be sober. Be sober. Your adversary the devil is seeking whom you may devour. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Again, darkness and light. We're to wake up. We're people of the light. We're not of the darkness. And people get drunk in the darkness. We're not that kind of people. He said, well, no, I'm the social drinker or abstainer. That's right. But here's the, I must be alert, free my mind from intoxicants that would keep me from making righteous judgments. Does that mean I'm not supposed to take anything for pain when I have surgery? I hope not. We're not speaking about that. Just put me out. The type of thing that would bring into our bodies that will hamper our judgment and cloud our thinking. Bible says, I've got to be sober. I've got to be alert. I'm people of the day. I'm not sleeping. I'm a people of the day. And my mind must be focused on something. What is it? Well, one thing in my life as a Christian, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 13, I need to gird up the loins of my mind, meaning it's ready for action. Where am I going to move to? Be sober. Be free from intoxication of the mind. And set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
sober. Never forget where I'm going. And I want to go there. I want to see the glory of the Lord. I want to be praising His glory forevermore and the glory of His grace. And I have to be sober and I have to be clear thinking that that's always at the forefront of my mind. That's part of being sober. The preacher in 2 Timothy 4, he's to be sober and alert because there's people that don't want the true teaching of the Lord. They want to hear what they want to hear. Be sober. Do your work of evangelist. Preach that truth. Preach that word. So we always, all of us have to be alert and aware of our surroundings, especially in the spiritual realm. That's what I'm talking about. Romans 13 speaks about, I don't want that cloudiness in my mind. I don't want to be making provisions, and the drinking the alcohol is one of the ways to get people to do the things that are ungodly. Why would I want to be a part of that? But here's where I find myself. I need to be sober, I need to be alert, and I need to know that wine is a deceiver. Again, Proverbs 20 verse 1. He said, that's a deceiver. That's a red flag. And he said, oh, I'll know when I've had enough. Really? I've talked to a lot of people in the world. Christians won't admit it. But I've talked to people in the world. You know drunkenness is wrong? I said, well, I met one fellow not too long ago who says, no, it's not if you've got a certain date. It's not wrong to get drunk. Maple of the world. But you know what? He had no problem admitting to me. I know it's not right to get drunk. And he knows when he goes out drinking, that's not what he wants to do. He's just a social drinker. But he's gotten drunk many and many a time. But I've never met a Christian like that. Never met a modern drinker that way. Never admit that. Get real. When do you know your limit? Well, I know how much I weigh. Really? Got on a scale lately, see how much you can bring into your mind without getting drunk. But maybe there's somebody there in your crowd that's maybe a 125-pound girl. It may take her a lot less to get drunk. How long will it take her to lose her inhibitions? You want to be a stumbling block to people? Moderate drinker? Wine is a deceiver. And we need to have that wisdom to look at it that way. Let's look at the wisdom of God. Proverbs, the 31st chapter, is this inspired testimony of how of the wisdom comes from God. And here he's speaking of King Lemuel. And his mother is instructing him. His mother taught him. Now I want you to notice in verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to get drunk with wine. He didn't say that. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, to drink wine. You're not even to drink it. Didn't tell you how long to stay in it, and stay out of it, and know your limits, and know, and you drink responsibly. King Lemuel said, don't drink it. Why, Mom? Why, God? It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to say, where is strong drink? You don't seek it either. Lest they drink and forget the law. It hampers your judgment. It hampers your mind. It hampers your thinking. You forget the law and you pervert justice that's due to him that is afflicted. See, King, you're in a pretty special place. You're ruling over your kingdom. People come to you for judgment. How should you handle it? Well, I have a couple of beers before I go out and talk to them. I drink about 3 little dashes of wine. I go out and talk to them. Don't drink it, Lemuel. Because it affects your judgment. It clouds your thinking. That's what alcohol does to you. But whoa, strong drink is for somebody. Give strong drink unto him that's ready to die, perish. And wine unto the bitter in soul. Let him drink and forget his poverty. See, you forget the law, you forget your poverty too. And remember his misery no more. That's who you give it to. That deadens their mind because they're dying in poverty. They have nothing to leave. They're people that come after them. They are bitter in their soul. And we want to forget their troubles. And they're ready to die. That's when you can give it to them. But not you, O King Lemuel. Because you need to be sober, alert, aware of your situation. Does King Lemuel walk out here being a moderate drinker or a teetotaler? Staying from it completely. What was the Nazarite vow, Samson? He wasn't even to touch grape juice. Separated unto God. But here was the idea of that's not for kings. I don't ask you. Where are you as a Christian? I'm not a king. But God says you make righteous judgments. John 7:24. And I tell you, a teetotaler will be doing that. They may be drinking iced tea, sugar or not. It won't call their judgment. But you drinking alcohol will. And I'm a young man coming to the scriptures and I'm beginning to see what young men are wanting to do. And they say, God didn't condemn moderate drinking. He condemns drunkenness. Oh, wine is a deceiver. Get that in your head. Unless I must be sober all times. And he is setting forth principles in God's word that we take in. We're Christians. We're to make righteous judgments all the time. And abstaining from allows our mind to be free. And I've yet seen. We're going to have a Bible class and we're going to drink a few beers while we're studying the Bible today. Come on over and join us. Usually the context of social drinking has nothing to do with thinking about the hope that's light ahead of me in the heavens. That's sober-mindedness. I'm never to forget that. I'm looking for it. My path is going that way as a child of God. I've never seen that we're going to think about godly things as we drink a little wine tonight. No, usually wine says go make a fish, make a steak taste better. It's all good. Or it'll loosen us up, or we can have a party, and all those things. But I've never seen it connected with sober thinking of going to heaven. Mark it. How many moderate drinkers, social drinkers, have heaven on their mind? That's where they're going. And that's all they care about. And never think about, could I be a stumbling block in this? There's so much warnings about it being a deceiver. What about drinking parties? It's condemned. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 3, please read this with me. Your Bible may have a different word here, and we'll talk about this. But in verse 3, he speaks about as the Gentiles walked, in verse 3, lasciviousness, lust, wine bibbings, that would be your drunkenness, revelings, and here's the word, American Standard says carousings. King James will talk about banquetings. New King James, New American Standard, English Standard Version will speak about drinking parties. That's also condemned. So he said, drunkenness is wrong, but here is the drinking parties, the banquetings, the carousings connected with the revelings, out of not in control of myself, loud speaking, inhibition's gone. That's the whole picture of it. And that's condemned along with drunkenness. What they're doing, they are participating and social drinking with the crowd that can lead to drunkenness. Yeah, they're there, wine bibbings. But it's condemned. And you know what? That is an atmosphere, that is an activity where the Christian abstains, drinking parties. Oh, you say, you thought they were there? They just drank moderately? Really? We can go to the parties. We can drink a little bit. Just don't get drunk. It doesn't fit in 1 Peter 4:3. And 1 Peter 4:3 is not opinion of a teetotaler. It's the word of God. And we need to have respect for it. It was the whole picture of what's connected there. And these people were being spoken evil of. My question is why?
They didn't get drunk with us. They just drank moderately. How dare them?
I have a feeling they weren't even there. You're a Christian. They totally abstained. They're not in the social part of that, and they're not in the drunkenness part of it. And that's how the world said, you used to run with us. When we frolicked around the streets and revelings and loud boasts, you don't do that. Is that the picture of a social drinker? Hey, I'm still with you. I just don't get drunk. I know my limits. I'm a Christian. You're spoken evil because they were completely cut off from doing that. That's when the world will speak evil of you. Conclusion. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And we as young people and older people as well need to have these scriptures in our mind and ask the question, Timothy, why did you have to be told to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake, for medicinal purposes? Apparently he wasn't drinking anything, any wine. Why? I think this will conclude our lesson. I would be thinking he didn't want to be given to that. So the wine is a deceiver. Staying long at it is not good. And so Timothy was staying away from it totally. Because he didn't want to become given to it or addicted to it. That's the wisdom of God. He never wanted to make provision through drink that would lead to lessening the inhibitions against his fleshly lust. That's crazy if you want to go to heaven. If you want to serve God. You want to be a godly person. Why would you keep putting yourself in those situations of drinking that would take away inhibitions that could lead you there? Thirdly, he knows that he has to keep his mind sober. Always thinking clearly upon the revealed word of truth and where he's going. And set his hope perfectly on the glory that's going to be revealed to him when Jesus comes back again. I never see moderate drinkers talk like that. No, it's what I want to do, separated from being here at worship. God didn't condemn it. He didn't condemn the lottery. He didn't condemn the dancing. Therefore, I can do it. Everything you do, do the authority of the Lord behind it. When I get through looking at the wisdom of God, what's your authority, God, of how I should look at at drinking? It's deceptive. Don't seek it. Think through it. It's a deceiver. It can take away your inhibitions. Lead you into thoughts and lead you into words and lead you into actions that will damn your soul. But you know what? Abstaining from it completely, I never involved in any of those dangers. I may have my other problems. But I don't have to bring that into my life. And why would I ever justify it to others? I don't understand that. Whatever you do, in word or deed, to all the glory of God. Just from a practical standpoint, if you go hunting, you go fishing, you drive a car, you drive a boat, and God forbid there's an accident that takes place. And old guys that in the world, before they go hunting for birds or anything like that, they have to have a couple of beers. They just have them and they go shoot guns. But God forbid on one of those trips that you ever have an accident. You know what the authority is going to ask you? Anybody drinking alcohol here today? And you moderate drinkers, so I had a couple of beers. You may find yourself in a lawsuit. Why? Because the world knows that drinking alcohol, didn't talk about your limit, did you have 0.08 or what have you. Did anybody consume alcohol here today? And you come up and say, had a couple bottles of wine or, you know, glasses of wine, that's all. We do it, we always do that. And you go shoot guns and you drive boats and you drive cars. Just apart from the spiritual, you're going to be looked upon, so we need to investigate this. Why? I just had a couple of beers. I didn't get drunk. They know it affects your judgments. Why would a Christian want to toil with that? When indeed the Word of God gets in our hearts and realize the spiritual side of things, I'll be a teetotaler if I have to stutter to say it. That's what I'm going to be. Because none of those things will be a part of my life of being a stumbling block to others, and I will be following the wisdom of God by staying away from it, so I can make righteous judgments in my life. And I encourage you to follow that same route. This morning, if you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become a Christian. God has spoken all things that deal with life and godliness and our spiritual life. And here we're looking at things that happen to us in the physical realm that have spiritual implications. And it can end up damning our soul. But God has sent His Son to die for us. He shed His blood to redeem us, ransom price, to take us out of sin and the slavery of sin and to becoming righteous with Him. So we could follow Him and with thanksgiving follow His wisdom. If you haven't started that road to heaven, I want to encourage you to do so. It comes through the Son. Obey His gospel as we stand and as we sing.